It is Friday, February 28th. Let's talk PlayStation. We have a ton of news stories to go over, so let's start with our PS Plus reminder. The February titles are Sims 4, Bioshock Collection, Firewall, Zero Hour. Not much time left because March games have been announced, Sonic Forces and the Shadow of the Colossus remake. So another very good month. I think this is a step in the right direction. Back to two games, kind of saw that coming, but still very good. I want to jump into PS4 firmware 7.50, so some beta invites are going out right now. Apparently, the beta will last for quite a good amount of time, maybe till the end of April. No major consumer-facing features, though, so the emails that were sent out already confirmed, basically don't expect anything major. However, there are small quality-of-life improvements, so kind of what we expected at this point forward when it comes to PS4 firmware updates, but quality of life stuff always welcomed. That could be some very minor things that you always think, hey, they should change it that way, and they might actually do that. So let's hope that's the case. We'll find out soon what some of those small little updates and features are. Now, the big news that came out this week was not from Sony, but rather Microsoft in terms of Xbox Series X. They actually gave us a direct number in the teraflop story we've been loosely following for a little bit now. And, well, Xbox Series X has 12 teraflops of RDNA2 architecture. Not only that, the post that they wrote up didn't tell us a whole lot, but certainly some good details. Their variable rate shading that they talked a little bit about kind of implied that it was more proprietary, that's patented. They have hardware accelerated ray tracing. Kind of saw that coming. Quick resume. So this is actually something that was never technically ever confirmed. However, we had talked about it so many times here where one of the, you know, assumed features of PS5 and Series X, because the SSD would be being able to suspend a number of games in a save state and revisit them whenever you want. Not just one game, many games. Microsoft confirms this as a feature, so they have multiple save states. They even confirm further that even when you do a complete reboot of the system, you can still play a game right from where you left off, an exact save state. You're not going through that boot screen or anything like that. Very cool. One of those major quality of life things that would only be possible with that very important SSD. Some of the other minor things in the write-up, though, we already knew. 120 frames per second, Xbox Game Pass, day and date releases with Xbox First Party, four generations of Xbox via backwards compatibility. They talked about HDMI 2.1 support, working directly with TV manufacturers. They're trying to lower the latency of your inputs to what actually happens on your TV. That's awesome. But the one thing they mentioned is what they're calling it smart delivery, which really is kind of a fancy term, but we experienced this today already on Xbox One, Xbox One X, and PS4 and PS4 Pro, where all games will play on all these systems just fine, right? The OS has a thing in place where it just tells the game, hey, this is a PS4 Pro or this is a base PS4, and you get the specified performance based on whatever system you're playing the game on, right? So Microsoft is calling the smart delivery on Series X. So this is, they're taking the opportunity here to call it something fancy because this is a generational leap. So if you buy an Xbox One game today and you play it on Series X, if there is a Series X version of this game, you just get that specified enhancement, which is awesome. So this is something that we theorized for a little bit now on this channel, and it was a matter of, it was really a question of how are the manufacturers going to handle this? How are publishers going to handle this? Are they going to give you these enhancements for free? Are they going to try and sell you another $60 video game? Which this was one of the very few things where I was kind of pessimistic about, that if a publisher can sell you another $60 game, they're going to. But Microsoft has set this precedent as a console manufacturer, and now a third party has already stepped forward. CD Projekt Red had tweeted out over on Twitter that you shouldn't have to buy a game more than once, and that Cyberpunk 2077 will be one of these games from a third party where you buy it on Xbox One today, you're going to get those enhancements on the next generation Series X. So that's great. This sets precedence. It doesn't mean that this will be the norm, but hopefully it will be the norm. So on the PlayStation side of things, we're hoping that'll be the case. And to be honest, I am now much more believing that this will be the case across the board, especially somebody like Sony, where they had cross-buy initiatives for a very long time, way back to PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita, and even across PSP, for example. They were actually big proponents of, you know, buying one game and you get it on multiple PlayStation systems. So thankfully, having this news from Microsoft bodes well for the rest of what's going to be playing out in the games industry with most developers and publishers. But that still technically remains to be seen. In terms of the teraflop thing, it's great to have one side of the story. You know, it's always been back and forth. What does PS5 have? What does Series X have? Who's more powerful? I know people like to talk about this. there's nothing to say. We know the Microsoft side. Now we need the Sony side of things. So you're not going to get input from me on this because we don't have anything from PlayStation just yet. However, knowing one side of the story, we can look at some previous rumors and speculation that we have been talking about and following a little bit. One of the more notable ones was Tommy Fischer from Reset Era. This was one we did cover on this channel because, remember, we skipped a lot of this stuff because at this point it was just people yelling at each other. But initially when the teraflop stuff started to come out, Tommy Fischer had come out and stated Xbox Series X will be around 12 teraflops. PlayStation 5 will be around 13.3 teraflops, RDNA 2, because that's the really muddled part of this conversation is it RDNA 1, RDNA 1.5, where is the ray trace? If it's RDNA 1, there's no ray tracing, so it's got to be some sort of custom separate chip on the silicon, so that's what made it so complicated, but this one particular post kind of gives it slight credence, so maybe that's where we are going forward, but there's still nothing confirmed. So not to say that PlayStation 5 is more powerful, it could potentially be less powerful, but that is one that has a little bit of validity to it now. Now, having said that, that was an older insider leak, but we do have a new one from this past week that I want to talk about, only because this is the second time we've ever heard this before, which is the possibility of Sony releasing two PlayStations day and date, one being a base model, one being a top tier model. If you remember, there was only one rumor we had about this a few, like maybe 2 months ago now, from Japanese journalist Zenji Nishikawa. He was playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey or something, he was streaming it, and he just briefly mentioned that he had heard from people in the industry that Sony was planning on releasing both at the same day. He even talked pretty openly about this, saying, you know, Apple doesn't have a problem with this when they release multiple iPhones a year, so it doesn't confuse consumers anymore, and that is what he had heard. But that was the only time we ever heard that rumor, never heard it again up until now. Over on NeoGAF, VFX veteran had stated this: "All right, people, I heard there are two consoles per company. The mid-gen refreshes are going to be introduced at release so they can run a seven-year cycle, Series X being 12 teraflops. There will be a base Series X that is slower than that one. Sony is releasing two PS models, the base one's 9 teraflops, the other one being a top-of-the-line model." He then speculates this all makes sense as to why people are getting mixed numbers for each platforms. And this is him referencing the fact that you've got multiple insiders getting secondhand information saying PS5 is this, no, PS5 is that. And that's, like I said, so many people are kind of yelling at each other. So there's really just nothing to go on. So this initially seems pretty interesting. At least this is the second time we've ever heard this. I'm still not really buying it all that much. The first instance was pretty questionable. I still find it questionable. I feel like we'd hear a lot more if there was actually a second console floating around out there, and that was the initial plan. I know it's easy to think, oh, the base model's 9 teraflops, that's where the GitHub leak came from, that's the base PS5, there's one a lot more powerful than that. We're hearing that there's a final dev kit revision coming out around 14 teraflops, and that's the top of the line spec where developers can make a game develop their game on that dev kit, and then scale it back for the base mode of their game for a theoretical base PlayStation 5. I'm not believing it just yet. It just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. To me, it just makes much more sense to follow the PS4 formula. No matter how powerful you make something right now, there's still going to be a more powerful option 2-3 years down the road, and you can offer it at a very affordable price. Why not do just that? PS5 2020, give it 2-3 years, PS5 Pro, it's even more powerful than what it would have been as a PS5 Pro in 2020, and you can offer it for the same price as what PS5 was in late 2020, and you can drop the base PS5 model's price, so it's more widely available to people that just want to buy the base model. Why would you do that and have two consoles run throughout the entirety of the generation? You can get better performance, better prices, and a cheaper box if you wait those 2-3 years and then make one that's much more marketable. So that's why I'm not really, I'm not into this one just yet. Moving on, when is the PlayStation 5 reveal? Just yesterday, there was a Pastebin post that said we would get a reveal event announcement yesterday. So the post went up yesterday and it was supposed to come out yesterday, or maybe it was the day before. But of course, yesterday came and went with no announcement. However, about 2 days ago on the Bombcast, this is Giant Bomb's podcast, they had actually casually, briefly talked about PlayStation 5, and it appeared as though on the podcast, one member had slipped out that they had already received invites and that the event was March 3rd. To which, right after he casually mentions the event, somebody else chimes in real quick. No announcement on that. Almost as if he wanted to dismiss it and move on from the topic. Then somebody else chimed in and stated, yeah, still waiting on that email. They'll come any day now. Again, the whole context was they were discussing recent PlayStation 5 news, like Godfall and stuff like that. Now, there's been actually like a lot of rumors regarding when we'll get the PS5 reveal. We've covered a good amount of them up until it looked like just everybody was throwing in random dates out of nowhere. So that's why I've initially been ignoring a lot of the recent ones. But when it's coming from a journalist site that they do get access to this kind of information, they do get invited to these press events, that's where we can maybe think that this could potentially happen. So that's March 3rd. Well, we're assuming it's March 3rd. They never actually said specifically March 3rd. They said, oh, that's the 3rd, right? So you're assuming that it's March 3rd. That'll be Tuesday. So we'll watch that closely. At this point, I'm not expecting anything because it just seems so unlikely. And considering it's that close, whether it's the actual event or the announcement of the event, you would assume the announcement of the event, but just seems like we would have heard something by now. Something would have slipped out, but then again, here we are talking about one of them. Now we've got more patents. It seems like we've got one every single week now. I can't remember when we didn't have one. This one is for the controller having biofeedback. It could detect sweat, apparently, and your heart rate. So this is just another one. You know, this is something where we're not going to see this. Like, sometimes we can look at a patent and think, oh, you know, that might actually come, because a company will hold thousands of them, but like 0.1% will actually turn into a product you can go out and buy. I don't think this is going to be one we're going to see anytime soon. The patent kind of describes how it'll detect your heart rate, it'll detect how much sweat you're secreting, and it can actually adapt and change the gameplay. This seems so ridiculous and so unnecessary and so expensive to have to put this into the controller. Not that it would be even a... That's not even to say this doesn't even have to be a base controller that ships with every console, right? This could just be an extra peripheral that they release, a more premium style controller that's like $100. I don't even see that happening. There's no point to this. Now, something that is a bit more likely is this patent for wireless charging, and it's not a controller with it built in, but rather an accessory that attaches to an existing controller, and this is really the route to go if they were to pursue something like this. Wireless charging would not work on a stock controller. You need to have a flat surface for the plate to actually be in place for you to rest it. And then the receiver has to, again, be a flat surface. People are talking about this in the controllers and on the, you put it on a console. No, that's not going to work. But this would be something that it even shows you. It's a little adapter that you clip into the bottom of the controller. It gives the controller that flat surface that it would need, and then a charging pad that you would rest the controller on. That way it lays flat, the inductive charging can take place, and that's how that would work. So it really is a matter of put it down, pick it up. You get that true wireless feel, not like docking, for example, because there's plenty of docking stations for controllers, which, you know, this seems plausible. I don't think totally necessary for controllers, but it is something that maybe we could see. For our next news story, looks like Amazon France had listed a PC version of Horizon Zero Dawn, and then it was quickly removed. Not much to go on here other than we just had an example of an online retailer posting something that we've had rumored for a little bit now. I know PlayStation fans are still kind of in denial about this, but I have been warning everybody it's probably going to happen. Now, to reiterate, I had a source approach me saying, here's a number of things that are going to be happening in the industry within the next few months. And initially, I didn't really believe them, but one of those items was Horizon, and a lot of things in that list became true. So then I thought, okay, looks like Horizon's probably going to happen. And this was before Jason Schreier ran his story about Horizon coming to PC. So at this point, I'm very much a believer that this is going to happen. An online retailer doesn't just list things out of nowhere. I mean, it happens, but usually it's because they have an idea that the product is coming, so... But anyway, for our next news story, Square Enix recently confirmed that they will be doing no next-gen exclusives, and that they will be doing cross-gen stuff for a little bit now, citing that backwards compatibility is a big reason for why they'll be doing something like this, and saying that it'll take about 2 years into the next life cycle, or a few years, to where they will start doing completely exclusive releases. Now, this isn't really surprising news. In fact, most publishers are probably going to go down this route anyway because they're not going to ignore the large install base of PS4 and Xbox One, but it does help that because of that backwards compatibility, they can get away with doing something like this for a little bit longer than, say, what had happened with PS3 and 360, where because they were outgoing different architectures and they didn't have as large of, you know, a decent install base. Technically, I guess it would be around the same, right? Because PS4 around over 100 million. Xbox, Microsoft hasn't released that data, but it's around 50 million, give or take 5 million. Who knows where it's at, really? They're just, they're around 50-some-odd million. So I guess it's around the same install base, but it's worth noting that actually, NPD numbers had shown that PS4 and Xbox One sales are on a pretty steep decline, much worse than what PS3 and 360 were in the January of 2013, where PS4 and Xbox One were coming out, right? So it looks like there is a steeper decline as more and more people are aware that next generation is coming up. Next up, will Naughty Dog make another Uncharted? Over on YouTube, there was a playthrough of Last of Us Remastered with director Neil Druckmann, Nolan North, Troy Baker, Ashley Johnson, all playing the game, having fun there. Near the end of that particular episode, Neil had said, you know, maybe one day we'll see, referencing, we made Uncharted 4, we haven't made another Uncharted since. And then Nolan followed up with, we'll talk about it. And then laughing that, hey, the internet's about to explode over this one. The funny thing to highlight here is that there was a time where a lot of developers would openly say, we're not going to go back to that franchise, we're not going to do that, we're done, we've told this story. But I think a lot of these guys have realized nowadays to never say never. And now they always kind of like to leave that door open to where maybe someday we'll revisit it. Now, I don't think that's going to happen with Naughty Dog. I think they are truthfully done with with Uncharted at this point, but you never know. So I saw a lot of people talking about this. Facebook has recently acquired developer Sanzaro Games to join their VR development team, and it's notable because Sanzaro was the contracted developer to make Sly Cooper Thieves in Time. So they were given the responsibility of continuing this PlayStation IP near the end of Thieves in Time. Not really a spoiler, but there's, you know, it's an open ending to where they hint that there's going to be another game. Previously, I think like last year or something like that, they had mentioned, hey, if you want another Sly Cooper, you have to tell Sony, it's their IP. They're the ones that would greenlight a project. And now that they've been acquired, that basically means, oh, we're not getting Sly Cooper from them. In all fairness, Sly Cooper is Sony's IP, so they can do what they want with the property. They can have another developer do it. But I will always defend and say Sanzaro did an incredible job. I think they did make a very traditional Sly Cooper. It was a great canon entry into the series. So it sucks that they're off the table at least. But I mean, Sly's been off the table for quite a bit now anyways, so I'm not really considering this a huge loss. And while speaking about PlayStation IP, Gran Turismo Sport, Kazunori Yamauchi also had noted that the game's updates this year are going to be pretty small and minor compared to the previous ones, kind of hinting that, well, the one rumor we've been hearing for a bit now is that we will get Gran Turismo 7 as a launch title. Now, if it is a launch title or if it's, really close to the PS5 launch remains to be seen, but it seems as though there has been a lot of talk regarding this entry into the franchise to where Kazunori wants to do a full numbered release this time. He talks about it very openly, but also rumors just suggesting that this time around the game's going to have a... we're not going to have to wait incredibly long into a new PlayStation generation to get that entry of Gran Turismo, because previously the last, you know, how many entries in the series, it's been quite a wait for fans. So hopefully GT7 does have a faster turnaround. I hope that much. Now let's get into Let's Talk Plus, the weekly Let's Talk PlayStation giveaway, where one of you can win a $10 PlayStation Network code. I would like to congratulate this viewer right here. I'll be contacting you very soon via email or Twitter. If you would like to win a $10 PSN code, it is very simple. Follow the link down below. Supporting this channel a number of ways can gain you an entry, and I'll announce the winner next week. Those are all the news stories that I want to talk about with you all. On Tuesday, we did kind of an updated conversation on a series of videos I did like over a year ago, basically analyzing Microsoft's first party, but also talking about how aggressive they've been with their studio acquisitions. So we revisit that conversation since a bit has transpired since then. We also touch on services and, you know, consoles moving forward, kind of a long-term future conversation, really, but a good discussion, no less, so go check that out. This coming Tuesday, I don't really know what I've got planned, however, we'll see what happens March 3rd if the Bombcast guys actually did kind of let something slip in regards to PS5. If that is the case, we'll obviously do a video right then and there. As I've mentioned before, if it's major PS5 news, you won't have to wait till Friday. We'll do it pretty much immediately. Otherwise, we'll just do our typical weekly news roundup here on Let's Talk PlayStation. But that's it. That concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Benecki. Thank you all so much for talking with me, and I will see you all next Friday.